When I first heard it, I was like, I would never do that because in my head, I'm thinking literally the vagina.
Welcome to this week's episode of Beauty Babble. Today we're talking about vagina facials, also known as vajayshals. Suzanne, how are you doing today?
Doing good, another day.
All right, this is an interesting topic. I never perform these treatments on clients, but also I think the name is a little misleading. Personally, that's my opinion. So why don't we start off by actually defining what does that even mean?
Right, because when I first heard it, I was like, I would never do that because in my head, I'm thinking literally the vagina.
Right.
Right. But I know it's for the ingrowns because of waxing. I'm going, but you don't wax there. So why are they calling it that? So I get why they're changing the name or focusing on the area to be specific. But I think, I mean, you can call it whatever you want in the end, your treatment, right? But it's really, what are we trying? What's the purpose behind it? I think you need to be really clear when you say that. It's almost like, you know, douching, and they're saying, don't do that. So I think people don't realize what it's actually about.
Right.
So
if it is a treatment for ingrown hairs, right, on the area that you wax, which is your bikini line, pubic mound, outer labia. Yeah. I think you said it really well. If the hair isn't growing there, then you're not doing a facial on it or vajayshal on it.
Yes. And I think too, like even people who shave will have these issues. And this could be something to help them too. So it doesn't have to be specific to just the waxing, but that's how it all came about, was to help people with their ingrowns. But this isn't going to work if they're not going to do the home care, right? That once a month thing's not going to help them. So they still have to be due diligent on what they're doing for themselves. So, you know, if you want to be looking at it as a, you know, the vajayshal, as they call it, but be specific to what that means so that people understand you're not doing it there, because most doctors, you're going to say no, because they're hearing exactly the words, a facial for the vagina. It's like, you don't want to change the pH in that. You don't want to be, you know, altering the microbiome in the area. And yeah, so I get why there's that controversy. And I think because it's not really specific to what's being treated, right?
Absolutely. So if you are offering these treatments, be very specific in your description of where the, what parts you're doing the treatment on and the purpose of the treatment, because I think that also will get you those clients that are a little bit more hesitant that are going to be like, ah, no, they might actually be like, oh no, I actually need that. Right. Like any hair treatment, I need that. I don't necessarily want a facial on my vagina.
Yeah, when I heard it,
I'm just saying, this is I'm pretending to be a client.
Yeah. Well, even like I said, myself, when it first heard it, I'm like, what are they doing now? Like, why? Because I assumed it just by the wording, right? But it's any hair removal. So laser, waxing, sugaring, shaving, like think outside the box, is just not for the Brazilian, right? It should be the bikini side of things. Like, you know, and really in the end, it's helping the hairs to come through the skin. So that's that exfoliation process. If it turns like a little comedone, like a blackhead, then those are easy to come out, but you still need to exfoliate, soften the skin through steam or moist towels, that type of thing.
Why don't you start us from the top and walk us through like the steps for a vajayshal?
Okay. I think the biggest,
I'm doing air quotes for people who are just listening and can't see me.
I could see you, so I knew what you were talking about. Oh, that's funny. So really it comes down to, okay, why are you doing this treatment on someone? It's not just for, just because, it's actually for a treatment of a condition, I guess you could say. So is there ingrown hairs? Are there clogged pores? Is it breaking out like an acne almost, or a rash, like dry skin or irritation to the skin? So I think you have to look at what are we doing? Just like the face, you need to analyze and decide, is this the best protocol? So I think through questions with the person over the phone is an easy way to do it too, to see if they do, or if you want to do an in-person consultation, I would start there to make sure they're a candidate for this.
Are there any contraindications?
I would think based on, you know, allergies and, you know, what product are you using? Are you making it up yourself? or is there a brand that already has it in place for you? I'm always going that way, right, Jareen?
Yeah.
Brands are usually really good at this. Like they put
the way to go
for us, and it's all written and it's written there all for us.
But why reinvent something when it's, and sometimes you don't know because you didn't ask. So I would say ask first before you decide to customize. But I think that you need to be mindful of some of the products that you're going to use, as it might be a little bit more irritating. I'm thinking. And
oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, would you be doing chemical peels? I hope not. But again, is that in the protocol of the brand? Like maybe they've figured this out. They also know where you put it, where you shouldn't put it. So there's all these things I think to take in consideration, right?
Yeah.
But I think if you say to the client, oh, I need to go see your doctor to sign off on this. Let's just say I need a doctor's note. Well, if that client says, well, it's like a facial for the vagina, they're going to say probably no, because there's no specifics of what it's for and why, and where are you putting this product? Where are you touching and what's going on? And what's the likelihood of it getting somewhere else, right? Into the membrane and stuff like that. So I think it's really important to educate yourself and how it's going to work. And is there anything that you need to know about it that you need to be aware of the product that you're using? Most of the time, I think it's going to be simplified, right? If it's really irritated and inflamed, well, are you going to scrub that area? No, not with a scrub.
No.
Maybe an enzyme peel, right? So
a good cleansing.
Yeah, a good cleansing. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know what I could do? I mean, I'll give a shout out to a brand that created this because they're masters of waxing, right? And that's Baraden, the wax queen. Mm-hmm. And they've have their own protocol in place. So I can tell you exactly what they use. I'm sure they won't mind a shout out. Because
not at all. And I think we can put that link to their blog where this treatment
is. They have the steps
in the show notes.
The only thing is that they're, you know, be mindful of what you're reading in it and where you're going with it as well. Again, watching the membrane, that type of thing. It's not actually in the vagina, that there's no hair there. So let's not go there. But basically what they start with is a cleanse, and they use the Body Line. It's their green, clean, invigorating body wash. And if anyone needs more detailed information about the product, you're new to Baraden, just let me know and I'd be happy to talk to you about it. And then you work on to, so you're going to emulsify with water. You're going to use disposable sponges, gauze, that type of thing. This is all disposable, and to emulsify and to remove. You want to make sure it's all off. Then you're going to use their enzyme peel mixed with their power scrub. And you're gloved up the whole time, by the way. Mm-hmm. You're using gloves. And you're going to use your own hand, or if you want to use a light brush, you could, just being gentle with it if you are using a body brush in any way, and work on that area. And then you're letting it sit for 5 minutes using under steam or a hot towel. Hot wet towel will work as well. And then you remove all of that. And then they do the finishing step by applying their lavender lotion, which is their aftercare in their Baraden system for post-waxing or pre-waxing, pardon me, as well. So you can use it, and that just brings it all back to, I guess you could say, that normalized pH level of the skin. And then you're nourishing with their post-wax essential oil, about 4 to 5 drops of that. And then applying a thin layer of their detox clay mask. And that's a huge one, because that's the one that's actually going to detoxify and heal, still bring the moisture to the skin, not dry it out. And that stays on for about 10 minutes. And then you're going to wet the area again, maybe with sponges or with your gloved hands again, and then remove that all. And then they finish with their application of their post-essential oil. So that's about 3 to 5. So it's a blemish control one as well. And then post-wax soothing cream. And that's what they do. And then at home, there's protocols. You need to do exfoliation at home. You can do even, you know, the post-wax soothing cream. Some might even be able to benefit from a post-depilatory cream that helps to slow the hairs down as well, so you can manage it better. Again, that would just depend on the client, if they're pregnant or not, and just understand all the contraindications of the product you're using. But, and that's it. Benefits of it is it's going to help soften the air so the hairs go through. On that point, there is extractions, right? So I think I missed that part to talk a little bit about. So after the enzyme peel and the scrub that you're doing after exfoliation, when you extract, you're going to remove after the steaming, but this is where, you know, you and I had this discussion, why we thought we'd bring this on here is because when I was doing electrolysis, that's where this all came about, was hairs would be stuck and underneath and they would break out. And even in bikini waxing. And I would mm-hmm. tell my client, it's still inflamed, meaning it looks like a pimple. So I've taken the hair out of under the skin, but I'm leaving it in there. Because if you look at the follicle and there's inflammation, it's red and puffy, then there's still healing going on. So if you remove the hair, how long it takes to heal, there's a little longer too, right? So how the hairs are going to come out, is it going to get trapped again? And then we start that cycle again. So I used to tell the client, I've lifted it out, I've trimmed it, so it's just sticking out of the skin. Once it heals completely, no redness to it, you can pull it out if you want to, right?
Yeah.
But otherwise, most of the time, I think most people that are waxing know that they look like a blackhead almost, or they're just dead right along the top of the skin. Mm-hmm. You can tell because that's not exfoliating and not hydrating the skin. Some people are exfoliating all the time, but they're not creaming. They're not putting in cream yeah. after. So then what's the purpose of exfoliating if you're not keeping that hydration level up too? So I think being mindful of that as well. Yeah. And don't go digging. Like it should be very easy to come out or access, but to dig deep, it's not worth it. I would just have them do, you know, their post wax oil on it. Mm-hmm. Right. Or the blemish control, spot treat it so you can get the inflammation down.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think too, understanding how your client got to the point where they needed this treatment, because A, they may not have known what kind of home care that they needed to do. So educating them on how they need to continue to care for the skin and to avoid having future ingrowns is really important. And making sure they're, because we all have clients that don't like to do, you know, following protocol and doing that their homework or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just explaining that is very important, because you got to a point where you needed a treatment for your ingrowns because you weren't caring for the skin properly. So this is how you do that. Here are the products to help you do that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they come back for another treatment in, you know, however much time you recommend. But having a little treatment plan for them is important, because it's not you come and you get the treatment and you're good. Then you don't need any more. You don't need to do anything. Home care is always, in my opinion, like 80% of the factor, right? If you're not doing it at home, you know, you're not going to see the results.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think like, how often can a person do this? I think immediately after, I mean, everyone's different. There's some people you can handle it right after. There's others you can't. So mm-hmm. I think that's going to be client-based as well, but setting up a treatment plan, like especially if it's the first time waxing, is letting them know that I'd love for you to come in a few weeks. Let's do this treatment to avoid anything. And then you get a chance to see if they're doing their homework.
Yeah.
Properly. And to avoid it, or tell them, I probably would have warned them, say, well, if you're not doing it, then you're coming in before your waxing treatment for one of these treatments. So then benefit from the waxing after.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. Cause then I can't get the hairs. I can't go over an area that's all inflamed and have pimples and right. So I think that's important for them to understand as well. So knowing your clients is important, and educating them, just give them all the facts, all the information. Yeah. If you tell them the why behind it, you're not just trying to sell a product to them. There's a why behind it. It'll help mm-hmm. them understand, right? So I think otherwise it's great. There are people who are prone to it. It's just the way their hair grows. Yeah. And this might be part of their regime. It could be. It's hard to say. There was always some people I knew that just, they did everything they could, but it's still not be 100% clear.
Absolutely. And I think it's good to have this as an offering for those clients. So if you don't do them, you know, it could be something you can reach out to your brand and see if that's, they offer a protocol mm-hmm. or if you know somebody who does them, go get one and see how it feels. Cause I'm a fan of like trying before I do anything on my clients. And then, yeah, let us know send us a message and let us know if you do the treatments or if you're going to try one.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Doreen.
Thanks so much. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.